It's the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Welcome to Wise Guys. These guys know sports. Here live on the Worldwide Sports Network. It's Friday, March the 31st. In the house with your boy Trey Larkins on the Wise Guys Sports Show. Come on in and sit a while, folks. We got an action, jam-packed show. So many things to get into. We're going to talk about the Golden State Warriors and whether or not they are contenders in the Western Conference and if they can win the Western Conference. That's also the Wise Guys question of the day. Will the Warriors win the West? Go on the Wise Guys Twitter page right now. Give me your vote. Yes or no. Will the Warriors win the West? Also, later on in the show, should the Patriots trade for Lamar Jackson? Also, later on in the show, we're going to talk about the Dallas Mavericks. They've been struggling. Kyrie Irving, Luka Doncic, they've been struggling lately. They have not played well. We're going to talk about that later on in the show as well. And Matt LaFleur, he says we need to temper our expectations for Jordan Love. So I'm going to get into that in a bit as well. It's the weekend, so it's Friday. On your afternoon drive, come on in and stay a while with me and listen to the best sports talk radio show in the world with yours truly, Trey Larkins. And call to the show, 513-203-8655. 513-203-8655 is the number to dial. Any particular topic that you want to discuss, we can talk about it on the show. Also, the NBA MVP is a big-time discussion right now. It's a big-time debate. Who's your current NBA MVP? Is it Joel Embiid? Is it Nikola Jokic? Or is it Giannis? Giannis, Embiid, or Nikola Jokic? Who is your NBA MVP? Come to the show and give me that as well. But we begin in the NBA with a statement win last night from the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics beat the Milwaukee Bucks 140-99 in Milwaukee last night. And for the Boston Celtics, Jason Tatum was sensational. He had 40 points on 12 of 18 shooting, shot 8 of 10 from three-point range. Jaylen Brown had a great game as well, 30 points, shot 13 of 20 from the floor, 3 of 5 from three-point range. For the Bucks, Giannis had 24 points, shot 11 of 27 from the floor, 7 rebounds. So here were some player reactions after the game. Take a listen.
It was Milwaukee versus Boston. We do look at it at the regular season as an accomplishment. But at the end of the day, if we happen to meet them in the playoffs, I just think we'll lock in differently.
We got a lot of history with them, right? Very familiar with them. And tonight, I mean, you know, we shot the ball well. They didn't shoot it well. If we play them again in the postseason, it's, you know, probably not going to be like this.
You know what the deal is, you know. It's not hard to understand. If you're not focused, if you don't play hard, they're going to kick our ass. Simple as that.
That was the reactions from the players last night following the Celtics' dominant win over the Bucks. The Celtics' win over the Bucks was the second largest win for a team versus the team with the best record, minimal 50 games into a season. Also, the Celtics beat the Bucks 2 out of 3 times this season. Both of those losses from the Bucks to the Celtics came by a combined 62 points. And the odds to win the Eastern Conference now have been updated. The Bucks have a plus 35 chance to win the Eastern Conference. The Celtics have a plus 150 chance to win the Eastern Conference. And now the Celtics are now 2 games out of the first seed in the Eastern Conference. So as I watched the game last night, start to finish, my biggest takeaway from the game last night was the Celtics sending a message to the Milwaukee Bucks that even if the Bucks finish with the number 1 seed in the Eastern Conference, the Celtics do not have any issue or problem with going to Milwaukee and beating the Milwaukee Bucks in a decisive Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals if it comes down to that. I thought this was a major, major win for the Boston Celtics, and I believe that they sent a statement to the Bucks to let them know, hey, even if y'all have home court advantage, we can beat you at the FedEx Forum in Milwaukee in your house. This was a complete beatdown. And I thought Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown did an outstanding job setting the tone in the first half of this game. I thought Jaylen Brown came out and was aggressive in the first quarter. He was able to get to the rim, finish around the rim, hit a few mid-range jump shots. He did a great job dropping 30 points on 13 of 20 shooting from the floor, 3 of 5 shooting from three-point range. Did a great job getting out in transition. And I thought Jason Tatum, he basically played off of Jaylen Brown and his performance in the first quarter, and Tatum followed that up with a sensational second quarter, and the Celtics took off on the Bucks. They simply took off on the Bucks, and the Celtics outscored the Bucks 41-21 in the second quarter of last night's game. And I thought watching the game that the Celtics did a tremendous job at defending Giannis. And they have the personnel to defend Giannis. And I think the key for the Celtics is going to be Robert Williams being healthy. They got to have Robert Williams in the lineup, because I believe if you got Robert Williams in the lineup, the things that the Bucks usually like to do and the advantages that they usually have with Giannis and with Brook Lopez down in the interior, I believe if you have Robert Williams and Al Horford in the lineup, then the Bucks, they can't use their size to their advantage against the Celtics like they can against other teams. So Robert Williams has to be healthy for the Boston Celtics to go on another championship run. But defending Giannis is something that you can tell that the Celtics have definitely prioritized, and they know how to do. They have the personnel being able to do it. You got Jason Tatum. You got Grant Williams. You got Robert Williams. You got Al Horford. You got Marcus Smart sometimes who gets a crack at Giannis. You got Jaylen Brown as well. They got so many bodies who they can throw at Giannis, and I believe that could be the difference in a playoff series. They got multiple bodies to throw at Giannis, and if the Bucks aren't hitting perimeter shots, they could be in trouble against the Boston Celtics in a playoff series. Last night, the Bucks from three-point range, they shot just 33%, 14 of 43 three-pointers. And if the Celtics are going to pack the paint to contain Giannis, that means their shooters like Chris Middleton, like Drew Holiday, like Pat Connaughton, okay, they got to be able to hit shots. They got to be able to hit shots. You can also throw in there Wesley Matthews and Jay Crowder now, who's a part of their team. And they got Dragic off the bench as well. So they got guys on their team who can hit perimeter shots. But if they're not hitting their shots, they become very, very ineffective. Grayson Allen. So that's the key. If the Celtics pack the paint against Giannis, can those Bucks shooters like Ingles, like Grayson Allen, like Drew Holiday, like Chris Middleton, like Carter, Connaughton, can they hit perimeter shots? If they can't, they will struggle to beat the Boston Celtics. So I thought that the Celtics did a great job sending a message to the Bucks. Number one, that if the Eastern Conference Finals, if it's a Game 7 and it's played in Milwaukee, we have no problem rolling up into Milwaukee and beating you in your house. And they also did a tremendous job at defending Giannis. Giannis had 24 points in this game, shot 11 of 27 from the floor. Giannis is going to get his. Giannis is going to get 20 points, 25 points minimal, because Giannis is that great of a player. But if you can limit the others, you have a great chance at being able to beat the Milwaukee Bucks. Chris Middleton, he did leave the game in the third quarter, but he had 13 points. But Brook Lopez only had 8 points. Drew Holiday had 6 points. This is Drew Holiday. He's fresh off a performance against the Indiana Pacers where he dropped 51. Portis 12 points. Grayson Allen only 3 points. So when you play the Bucks, Giannis is going to get his. But if you can slow down the others, I believe that's your best chance at being able to win against the Milwaukee Bucks. Also, for the Boston Celtics, I thought that a major factor in them beating the Bucks the way that they did was the fact that they got completely outplayed Tuesday night in Washington against the Wizards. I mean, that was a complete letdown Tuesday night in Washington against the Wizards, who are not very good, and the Celtics are a more superior team than the Wizards are, and they got beat down by the Wizards Tuesday night. Beat down. So I thought that because they got blew out by the Wizards, and, you know, I thought that they were looking ahead to the Bucks game on Thursday night. That's why they lost the way they did against the Wizards. They lost to the Wizards because they were looking ahead to the Bucks game. But because they got blown out by the Wizards, they came out with the intensity and they set the tone in the early stages of this basketball game, and they never looked back. They never, never looked back. And now that they're only 2 games behind the Milwaukee Bucks, anything can happen in these final few games. So this is the Bucks' schedule in the final 2 games. Remember, the Celtics have the tiebreaker over the Bucks. The Celtics beat the Bucks 2 out of 3 matchups this year, so they have the tiebreaker over the Bucks if they were to finish with the same record. So this is the Bucks' final 5 games. Sunday, they are home against the Sixers. That's a game they could potentially lose. Tuesday, they're in Washington against the Wizards. They are home against the Bulls the following night. And then April 7th, they are home against the Grizzlies. And April 9th, they are at Toronto. I see the Sixers game being a potential loss, the Grizzlies game being a potential loss, and maybe the Bulls, but I would favor the Bucks over the Bulls. But the Bulls are also fighting to get into the play-in to have an opportunity to make the playoffs. So you know DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine, they're going to play hard in that game next Wednesday against the Bucks. And that game is in Milwaukee. It's going to be on ESPN. So if the Bucks lose 3 out of their last 5, the Celtics could have an opportunity to possibly overlap them and be the number one seed in the East. Now, here's the Celtics schedule, the final 5 games. Tonight, they are home against the Jazz. That should be a win. Tuesday, they are at Philadelphia. But I believe that the Celtics are a matchup that the Sixers do not like. So I think going up against the Sixers, the Celtics should beat the Sixers. But similar to the Sixers being able to beat the Bucks, the Sixers could also beat the Celtics. That game is Tuesday night in Philly. Then they have a back-to-back. Wednesday, they're home against the Raptors. And then April 7th, they are again home against the Raptors. So they got a home-and-home against the Raptors. And they finish up April 9th against the Hawks, who are also trying to get into the play-in and stay in the play-in. So the Celtics, because I think they should beat the Jazz, if they want to have a chance at being able to overlap the Bucks, they got to beat the Raptors in both of their games when they have the home-and-home matchups next Wednesday and also April 7th, which is Friday. That matchup on Wednesday against the Raptors in Boston and the Friday matchup against the Raptors again in Boston. The Celtics got to win both of those matchups if they want to have an opportunity to overlap the Bucks. They got to. So it's going to be an interesting finish of the season in the Eastern Conference. It's going to be an interesting race to the finish line. The Bucks currently have a 70% chance for the 1 seed, according to ESPN's analytics. So I think the Celtics definitely have the parts on their team that can make things tough for Giannis. They definitely have the pieces. Like, they got so many defenders who can make things tough on Giannis. Jaylen Brown, Grant Williams, Jason Tatum, Robert Williams, Al Horford, Marcus Smart, Malcolm Brogdon. They got bodies to throw at Giannis. So I think that could be an issue for the Bucks in the playoffs if they were to face off in the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm going to go out on record right now and let it be known. the Boston Celtics will beat the Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals, and they will represent the East in the NBA Finals this year. I'm saying it right now. The Celtics are going to beat the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals, and they're going to represent the East in the NBA Finals for a second consecutive season. Everybody go and follow Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_H. Also on Facebook, Wise Guys. And be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram at These Guys Know Sports. Coming out the break, I'm going to discuss the New England Patriots and whether or not they should trade for Lamar Jackson. I'll be right back.
It's the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. Radio Network.
And welcome back to Wise Guys. These guys know sports. Here live on the Worldwide Sports Network. Everybody remember going follow Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_H. Also on Facebook, Wise Guys. And be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram at These Guys Know Sports. Remember to go and vote on the Wise Guys Twitter page. Will the Warriors win the West? It's a simple yes or no. Call into the show, 513-203-8655. 513-203-8655 is the number to dial. Any particular topic that you want to discuss, we can talk about it on the show tonight. Let's transition to the NFL, and let's go to New England, and let's talk about the New England Patriots as it's reports going around in the New England area, and reports are that the Patriots may be interested and trading for Lamar Jackson. And Bill Belichick was speaking to reporters, and they were asking him about, should the New England Patriot fans be optimistic about the team heading into next season? And Belichick's response was, quote, should fans be optimistic? His response was, the last 25 years. So when I think about the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick, I need to remind Bill Belichick that over the last three seasons without Tom Brady, in the regular season, Bill Belichick is 25-25. That's his record in the last 3 years without the services of Tom Brady. And two out of the 3 years without Tom Brady, Belichick did not make the playoffs. In 2020, his team finished 7-9. And 2021, they finished 10-7. They got to the playoffs and got completely blown off the field by Josh Allen and company and the Buffalo Bills. And then last year, they finished 8-9 and didn't make the playoffs. And when I look at the New England Patriots overall, as a football team, when I look at Mac Jones, I'm not a believer in Mac Jones. Now, for his career, Mac Jones has 36 touchdowns, 24 interceptions, 6,798 passing yards for his career. But I don't view Mac Jones the same way I view a Justin Herbert, a Joe Burrow, a Patrick Mahomes, or even a Trevor Lawrence, or even a Kyler Murray for that matter. I saw more promise out of Kyler Murray before his injury than I ever saw from Mac Jones. I've never believed in Mac Jones. So, number one, when I look at the New England Patriots as a football team and where they're going, I don't believe in Mac Jones at all. And I look at the Patriots and their personnel. You look at the Patriots personnel. At running back, you got Ramondre Stevenson, James Robinson. At receiver, they recently signed Juju Smith-Schuster. You still got Tyquan Thornton, Trey Nixon, Devontae Parker, Lynn Bolden Jr. But that receiving core is a below-average receiving core. That Patriots receiving core isn't that good. So when I look at the entire offense for the Patriots, not only do I not believe in Mac Jones, I don't believe in his supporting cast either. And I look at their defense. Last year, defensively, they were ranked in the top 10 in total yards given up per game. They gave up 343 total yards per game. That was ranked ninth in the NFL. They only gave up 106 rushing yards. That was ranked sixth in the NFL. So defensively, considering Bill Belichick is a defensive specialist and he knows defense, I believe that the Patriots will be good defensively. Like, I think you can always rely on them being a good defensive team. Defensively, they still got Wise Jr. up front. They got Matthew Judon up front as a pass rusher. They got Jonathan Jones at DB. They got Josh Christ at DB as well. Kyle Duggar in the secondary. But I expect them to be pretty good overall defensively because of Bill Belichick. But offensively, they're not that good. Last year, offensively, they were bottom half in a lot of major categories. This is offensively. Offensively last year, they averaged 331 yards per game. That was ranked 27th in the NFL. They averaged 208 passing yards per game. That was ranked 20th in the NFL. They only averaged 107 rushing yards per game. That was ranked 24th in the NFL. They averaged 21 points per game, which was ranked 17th. So everywhere you look, statistically, the Patriots were awful last year. And I don't believe in Mac Jones as a quarterback who you can win a Super Bowl with. I don't. And I believe that in today's era of the NFL, you got to be able to have a reliable quarterback if you want to be a legit Super Bowl contender. And I look at these other teams in the AFC East alone. The Jets, once they acquire Aaron Rodgers, they will be better than the Patriots. The Bills are already better than the Patriots with Josh Allen. And the Dolphins are better than the Patriots with Tua, with Tyreek Hill, with Waddle. And I think in the AFC East alone, those teams that I just named have passed up the New England Patriots. Right now, the Patriots are the fourth and last team in the AFC East. And in the AFC, other teams are not better than. They're not better than the Chiefs. They're not better than the Bengals. They're not better than the Chargers. Hell, they're not better than the Jacksonville Jaguars. So Bill Belichick's talking about how the Patriots fans, they should be optimistic because of the last 25 years. What about the last 3 years, Bill? What about the last 3 years? Last 3 years, they're 25-25, and they missed the playoffs 2 out of 3 seasons under Bill Belichick's watch. So the Patriots, you got to get Lamar in there in New England. I would have been on the phone yesterday with the New England Patriots if I'm Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft. I would have been on the phone yesterday trying to acquire Lamar Jackson because we know how great Lamar Jackson is. Lamar Jackson, this is in the Super Bowl era. Lamar Jackson has the fourth best winning percentage as a starting quarterback. Only Roger Staubach, Tom Brady, and Patrick Mahomes have won more games than Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is 45-16, so he's won 74% of his games. And if I'm the Patriots, if I'm Bill Belichick, and you want to put some energy into that stadium in Gillette in New England, I would bring in Lamar Jackson. Seriously, I would bring in Lamar Jackson. Look at what the Ravens have been last year, what they were without Lamar Jackson. Last year, this was the Ravens by starting quarterback last year. Under Lamar Jackson, the Ravens were 8-4. They averaged 24 points per game, and Lamar had an 89.0 passer rating. All other quarterbacks, not named Lamar Jackson, the Ravens were 2-3. They averaged 13 points per game, and their passer rating was 65. So Lamar Jackson would instantly make the New England Patriots a better football team, and they would be able to compete with those other teams in the AFC East and in the AFC if you have Lamar Jackson on your football team. My man C. Banks Lewis on here. You a Ravens fan, bro. Of course you're going to say it's not going to happen. But I don't think it's going to happen either because Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft, they have a certain way of going about doing things. The Patriots want to do things the Patriot way. You have those teams out there who take risks and do different things to bring in stars. Patriots aren't one of those teams. They want to build through the draft, and they want to see if they have a quarterback in Mac Jones who can lead them to the playoffs. But I don't think it's possible. I don't think it's possible. Like, he led them to the playoffs a few years ago, but I damn sure don't believe he can lead them to a Super Bowl. I just don't see it happening. Bill won't give up a multiple first-round pick. He should. He should consider it because Lamar Jackson does have his injury issues. The last two years, Lamar Jackson has missed 10 games. But Lamar is better than Mac Jones. And in the AFC East, you can make a legit argument that Lamar Jackson would be the best quarterback in the AFC East if the Patriots acquired him. Right now, I'm taking Lamar Jackson over Aaron Rodgers. I'm taking Lamar Jackson over Tua for sure. Now, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, that's a great debate. I probably would take Lamar Jackson over Josh Allen because Lamar has an MVP. And I think Lamar Jackson has done more with less than Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen has had the luxury of playing with a Stephon Diggs, the luxury of playing with a Gabe Davis, Dawson Knox at tight end. Lamar Jackson has never had a true number one receiver to throw the ball to. Seriously. Lamar Jackson has never had a true number one receiver. So right now, if neither one played another down, I'm taking Lamar Jackson over Josh Allen. But I definitely think the Patriots should get on the phone with the Ravens and try to make a deal and trade for Lamar Jackson and improve their football team. Everybody go and follow Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_WH. Also on Facebook, Wise Guys. And be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram at These Guys Know Sports. I'll be right back. And welcome back to Wise Guys. These guys know sports. You're live on the Worldwide Sports Network. Everybody remember going to follow Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_WH. Also on Facebook, Wise Guys. And be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram at These Guys Know Sports. Call to the show, 513-203-8655. 513-203-8655 is the number to dial. So the Wise Guys Twitter page is WiseGuys_H, also on Facebook, Wise Guys. So let's get into the Wise Guys question of the day. Will the Warriors win the West? So I put this tweet out earlier today, and there's some people that says the Warriors will win the West. Yes. So we got 51% says yes, 49% says no. So close to being even. So the Wise Guys question of the day is, will the Warriors win the Western Conference? You can go on the Wise Guys Twitter page and vote. I put this question on Twitter earlier this morning, and it's 51% says yes, the Warriors will win the Western Conference. 49% says no. So that is the Wise Guys question of the day on tonight's show. Feel free to still call in, 513-203-8655. Is number to dial, 513-203-8655 is the number to dial. So when it comes to whether or not the Warriors can win the West, I believe that the answer is yes, the Warriors can win the West, but it needs to be one thing that needs to happen for the Warriors to be able to represent the Western Conference in the NBA Finals. One thing has to happen. The one thing that has to happen for the Warriors to win the West is they got to get Andrew Wiggins back. I mean, this Warriors team, they are not championship contenders without Andrew Wiggins. Last year in the NBA Finals, you can make a legitimate argument that if the NBA Finals MVP wasn't going to be Steph Curry, it was going to be Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins did a great job last year in the NBA Finals guarding Jason Tatum. Do y'all remember how bad Jason Tatum played last year in the NBA Finals? Tatum didn't all of a sudden forget how to play basketball. That was Andrew Wiggins and his defensive prowess and how he pretty much locked Jason Tatum up in the NBA Finals last year. So last year, it wasn't Klay Thompson. It wasn't Jordan Poole. It wasn't Draymond Green who would have won Finals MVP if it wasn't Steph. It would have been Andrew Wiggins for me because I thought defensively he was sensational last year for the Golden State Warriors. So I believe in order for the Warriors to be true championship contenders, and if they want to represent the West in the NBA Finals, they got to get back Andrew Wiggins. They can't win the West without Andrew Wiggins because I believe defensively he helps them significantly. And I think he gives them what Andre Iguodala once gave them. At one point, Andre Iguodala took on the responsibility of guarding the opposing team's best player. In this Warriors dynasty, it wasn't always Draymond Green who guarded the opposing team's best player or had the necessary defensive tenacity. It was also Andre Iguodala. So I think what Andre Iguodala used to give the Golden State Warriors, I think now Andrew Wiggins gives the Golden State Warriors in order for them to be championship contenders. So that's the number one thing that needs to happen for the Warriors to be championship contenders. Also, for the Warriors to be championship contenders and be able to represent the West in the NBA Finals, they got to improve on the road. I mean, they have been pathetic away from the Chase Center this year. This is the Warriors this year compared to their home record to their away record. At home, the Warriors are 31-8. On the road, they're 9-29. At home, the Warriors average 119 points per game. On the road, they average 117 points per game. At home, at the Chase Center, they average 46 rebounds per game. On the road, they average 42 rebounds per game. At home, their point differential is plus 7.7. On the road, it's a minus 6.7. So they've been pathetic this year away from the Chase Center. I don't know what the hell was going on with the Warriors when they leave the Bay Area, but when they go on the road, they are terrible, and they're not the same basketball team. The biggest win of the season on the road for them so far this year came a few weeks ago, literally a few weeks ago, maybe a week ago, when they beat Luka and Kyrie in Dallas. But we see how pathetic the Dallas Mavericks have been lately. So that win doesn't really hold much weight. Yes, the Warriors beat the Mavericks in Dallas, but it doesn't really hold much weight considering how the Mavericks have been struggling lately. So those are two factors for me that the Warriors need to be contenders and be able to represent the West in the NBA Finals. They need Andrew Wiggins to be available, and they need to improve on the road as a team. If those two things can happen, the Warriors could represent the West in the NBA Finals this year again, because you still got Steph Curry, and Steph Curry is still one of the best players in the NBA. He's definitely a top five player in the NBA. And Steph Curry is the best shooter in the NBA and the greatest shooter in NBA history. This season, Steph Curry, he's averaging 30 points per game on 50% shooting from the floor. So Steph Curry is still a top five player in the NBA. He's still top five. You still got Jordan Poole. And Jordan Poole is a great, great player off the bench for the Warriors. He can light it up like Steph and like Klay can as well. You still got Draymond Green. And Draymond Green, he's turning it up a notch lately. You can tell that it's getting close to playoff time. And his impact on and off the court, you can tell what type of Warriors team is playing with Draymond Green and how he's playing. With Draymond Green on the floor, the Warriors are plus 52. With him off the court, they are a minus 21. With Draymond on the floor, the Warriors shoot 52% from the floor. With him off the court, they shoot 45% from the floor. On the court, the opposing team's field goal percentage is 43%. Off the court, is 52%. Their defensive rating with Draymond on the court is 100.3. With him off the court is 125.1. So he had 13 assists, which was a season high for him against the Pelicans the other night. And unlike other people who have an issue with Draymond and his tactics and, you know, how he acts when he's on the floor, I don't have a problem with it. And I think Draymond being a nuisance and basically, you know, being the opposing team, he's like, they don't like Draymond Green. Yeah, Draymond Green is the Dennis Rodman of the Warriors. What Dennis Rodman meant for the Bulls during their dynasty is what Draymond Green means for the Warriors. And when Draymond Green is chirping at the opposing team, when he's getting in the faces of star players on the opposing team, I think that has an impact on the Warriors as a basketball team. And I think Draymond, in a way, he lights a fire in the rest of his teammates when he brings the intensity and when he's a nuisance on the floor against the opposing team. I have no issue with how Draymond conducts himself on the court. I have no issue with it whatsoever. So I think he's the heart and soul of the Warriors, and I definitely believe the Warriors are championship contenders with a healthy Andrew Wiggins if they can improve with their road record, for sure. Everybody go and follow Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_H, also on Facebook, Wise Guys. And be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram at These Guys Know Sports. I'll be right back.
It's the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Welcome back to Wise Guys. These guys know sports. Here live on the Worldwide Sports Network. Everybody go and follow Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_H. Also on Facebook, Wise Guys. And be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram at These Guys Know Sports. Call to the show, 513-203-8655. 513-203-8655 is the number to dial. Any particular topic that you want to discuss, we can talk about it on the show. Anything you want to debate? Who is your current NBA MVP? Is it Nikola Jokic? Is it Joel Embiid? Or is it Giannis? Who is your current NBA MVP this season? Call into the show, and we can definitely talk about it. Let's transition to the NBA, and let's talk about the Golden State Warriors. I had a question on Twitter. It's the Wise Guys question of the day. The question is simple. It's simple. Will the Warriors win the West? Simple, yes or no. And right now, Werder says it's a 51% chance that the Warriors will win the West, and a 49% of people say the Warriors will not win the West. So that is the results from the Twitter page of the Wise Guys question of the day. You can still vote. Go on the Wise Guys Twitter page, WiseGuys_H, also on Facebook, Wise Guys, and vote. Will the Warriors win the West? Call into the show and give me your opinion. 513-203-8655. 513-203-8655. Now, Wednesday night in the Bay, the Warriors beat the Pelicans 120-109. Steph Curry had 39 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. So, when you ask the question, if the Warriors can win the Western Conference, I would say it's two things that need to happen for the Warriors to win the West and represent the West in the NBA Finals this year. The number one thing that needs to happen for the Warriors to win the West this year is they got to get back Andrew Wiggins. Last year in the NBA Finals, you can make a legitimate argument that if it wasn't for Steph Curry being the best player and winning the NBA Finals MVP, if Steph Curry didn't win the NBA Finals MVP, it wasn't going to be Klay Thompson. It wasn't going to be Jordan Poole. Damn sure it wasn't going to be Draymond Green after his performance in the NBA Finals. I believe that if it wasn't for Steph Curry, Andrew Wiggins would have been the NBA Finals MVP last year. Andrew Wiggins did a great, great job last year defending Jason Tatum. You think Jason Tatum all of a sudden forgot how to play basketball? No, it was Andrew Wiggins' defensive tenacity that made it tough on Jason Tatum in the NBA Finals last year. And I believe that Andrew Wiggins, he now has the role that Andre Iguodala used to have on the Warriors championship teams in the early part of their dynasty. Before Kevin Durant arrived in Golden State, it was Andre Iguodala who guarded the opposing team's best player in the NBA Finals. I think 2015 and 2016, when the Warriors were in the finals against the Cavaliers, they had Iggy on LeBron in the NBA Finals. And I believe that Andrew Wiggins is now playing the role that Andre Iguodala used to play with the Warriors. It's now Wiggins. Wiggins is now the new Andre Iguodala, and he has a similar role. And he's younger, and he has great athleticism, and he guards the opposing team's best player. And I believe that his value has went up significantly now that Andre Iguodala is out of his prime and pretty much just on the team as a veteran presence now. Iggy, he's on the team as a veteran presence now. Iggy's no longer a true contributor in their rotation. So it's Andrew Wiggins, now his role, to take on that Andre Iguodala role. So I think in order for the Warriors to represent the West in the NBA Finals this year, one of the things that has to happen is Andrew Wiggins be available. If they don't have Andrew Wiggins, they don't have a chance at being able to make the NBA Finals. Now, the other thing that needs to happen for the Warriors to represent the West in the NBA Finals, they got to get better on the road. They have been pathetic this season away from the Chase Center. It's like when they leave San Francisco, they forget how to play basketball. The Warriors are not the same team on the road like they are at home. Let's look at their road record compared to their home record, shall we? Statistically, the Warriors at home at the Chase Center, they are 31-8. On the road, they're 9-29. At home, they average 119 points per game. On the road, they average 117 points per game. At home, they average 46 rebounds per game. On the road, they average 42 rebounds per game. At home, they have a plus 7.7 points per game differential. On the road, it's a minus 6.7. So for whatever reason, they are pathetic away from the Chase Center. I know last week they had a big-time win in Dallas against the Mavericks, but the Mavericks, they have been struggling lately. The Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving experiment has been a failure so far. So I can't really give the Warriors that much credit for winning in Dallas, considering how the Mavericks have been struggling since Kyrie arrived in Dallas. So that road win doesn't have much significance. Doesn't have much significance. They beat the Rockets on the road last week as well, but they've been pathetic on the road. And if you want to be a true contender for an NBA championship, you got to be able to win on the road in the NBA playoffs. And right now, if the playoffs started today, they would be on the road in the first round against the Sacramento Kings. And I think that the Warriors are better than the Kings, but Sacramento, they haven't been in the playoffs in a very, very long time. The Kings have a great, great home court advantage that they can use. And I think the Warriors would struggle in a playoff series against the Kings. They can't win on the road. But I think those are two major factors and the Warriors being able to represent the West in the NBA Finals this year. The availability of Andrew Wiggins and them improving on the road and being able to win on the road. And you look at the Western Conference, the West is so bottled up right now. There's so many teams in the West. The Nuggets, they struggle defensively. The Grizzlies, they're immature as a basketball team. The Kings are inexperienced. The Suns with Kevin Durant, they don't have much depth. The Clippers don't have Paul George right now. Pelicans don't have Zion. Lakers, they got LeBron back and AD. They are dangerous, but we got to see if they can play at this level consistently. But I definitely think the Warriors could win the West. Considering the Western Conference right now, I don't see a favorite in the Western Conference right now. I think anybody could beat anybody in the Western Conference right now. And I think you got to include the Golden State Warriors, the defending NBA champions. You cannot count out Steph Curry and company. Steph Curry this year, the man's averaging 30 points per game on 50% shooting from the floor. That's Steph Curry this year. And he's been sensational this year, having another great season this year. And I think it's really, really more impressive what Steph is doing right now for the Warriors, considering he's their best player by far. Years prior, he had Kevin Durant. He had Klay Thompson prior to his injuries as the second best player on those Warriors teams. Now, the second best player on this Warriors team, is it Jordan Poole? Is it Andrew Wiggins? We don't really know. So I think what Steph Curry is doing right now is even more impressive compared to what he did in the early part of his career. This year, he's shooting 43% from three-point range. We know he's going to be a sniper from three-point range. So the Warriors are definitely contenders in the West, and they could easily represent the West in the NBA Finals once again. That matchup against the Kings will be lit in the first round. It's going to be lit. It's going to be exciting. They're in the same geography, like area, like for geography standpoint, they're right there in the same area. So I know some of those Warriors fans will travel to Sacramento when the Warriors have to play against the Kings, but I definitely think the Warriors can represent the West in the NBA Finals. Everybody, go and follow Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_H, also on Facebook, Wise Guys. And be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram at These Guys No Sports. I'll be right back.
It's the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
And welcome back to Wise Guys. These Guys Know Sports. Here live on the Worldwide Sports Network. Everybody go and follow Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_H. Also on Facebook, Wise Guys. And be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram at These Guys Know Sports. Call to the show, 513-203-8655. 513-203-8655 is the number to dial. Any particular topic that you want to discuss, we can talk about it on the show tonight. Don't forget, tomorrow night in Houston, it's the Final Four. We got big-time matchups in Houston. We got Florida Atlantic and San Diego State tipping off at 6:09 p.m. It's the 9 versus 5 seed. And following that matchup, we got the Miami, Florida Hurricanes going up against the UConn Huskies. 8:49 tip-off in Houston. The Final Four in Houston, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be special. It's going to be on CBS tomorrow night in Houston. Be sure to check it out. And Monday night, we have the national championship game. So I'm excited for the Final Four tomorrow night in Houston. I will be locked in. And I'm going to try to talk about that before the show is up. But let's transition to the NFL, and let's go to Green Bay, and let's talk about Matt LaFleur and his recent comments on Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur, as Stephen A. Smith always says. Matt LaFleur was recently talking to reporters, and he was talking about expectations for Jordan Love. And Matt LaFleur said, quote, "We all have to temper our expectations." So when I speak about the Packers, I do not apologize about explaining and letting everyone know who listens to my show, when I speak about the Packers, I am speaking with my heart more so than my head, because I am a diehard Packers fan. Been a Packers fan since I was 3 years old. I lived through the Brett Favre era. I lived through the Aaron Rodgers era. And so I never, never apologize for when I speak about the Green Bay Packers, I'm speaking from my heart. But I always, always tell the truth, and I'm a truth teller. And listening to these comments from Matt LaFleur, it concerns me as a Packers fan, because Matt LaFleur is talking about we have to temper our expectations from under Jordan Love compared to what they were under Aaron Rodgers. And I don't need to remind Matt LaFleur of who Packer fans have had the luxury of seeing play the quarterback position the last 30 years. We went from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, and now we're going to Jordan Love, and you want us to temper our expectations? I believe this is Matt LaFleur basically already putting in place an excuse if the Packers come up short this season. I want to talk about Matt LaFleur as a head coach in the NFL. Matt LaFleur has been the head coach of the Green Bay Packers for the last 4 years. In four seasons, Matt LaFleur is 47-19, so he's won 71% of his games. He won the NFC North in 2019 all the way through 2021. Three straight seasons, Matt LaFleur and the Green Bay Packers finished first in the NFC North. Matt LaFleur also has back-to-back NFC championship game appearances. Back-to-back. And in the regular season, you can make a legitimate argument that the last 4 years, outside of last year, the Packers have been the best team in the regular season. But that was with Aaron Rodgers. That was with Aaron Rodgers having back-to-back NFL MVP seasons. In 2020, the year after the Packers drafted Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers had 48 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and the Packers were the number one seed in the NFC. They lost to the Bucks in the NFC Championship game. And in that game, remember, on the last possession for the Packers were down by 8, and Matt LaFleur had an opportunity to go for it on 4th and goal. You're down 8. So a field goal only makes it a 5-point game. Instead of giving the football to his MVP quarterback, Matt LaFleur decides to kick the field goal and trust his defense. I didn't like that decision. I didn't like it then, and I don't like it now. Never was a fan of that decision by Matt LaFleur in that situation. Never. You got to give Aaron Rodgers a chance if he's down 8 and you know that it's a great chance. You probably are not going to get the football back. So he follows that up with a 13-4 season in 2021. That year, the Packers had a first-round bye, and they were the number one seed in the NFC. Again, this time, they lost in the divisional round playoff game against Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers. Get this. The 49ers didn't even score an offensive touchdown, and they beat Matt LaFleur and the Packers. But over the last 4 years, since he's been the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, Matt LaFleur has had the luxury of being able to depend on Aaron Rodgers. And so when I hear Matt LaFleur say we need to temper our expectations, that's Matt LaFleur already building up an excuse if the Packers struggle this season. Because when I look at the NFC North, look at the other quarterbacks in the NFC North. Jared Goff, Justin Fields, Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is the best quarterback in the NFC North at this moment. But Kirk Cousins is not to be confused with an elite quarterback. Is he good? Certain weeks, yes. Certain weeks you can say Kirk Cousins is good. But he's not to be confused with great, like a Mahomes, like a Burrow, like a Herbert, or like a Lamar Jackson. So I'm looking at the Packers in the NFC North going up against Justin Fields, going up against Kirk Cousins, going up against Jared Goff. As a Packers fan, considering I've had 30 years under Brett Favre, under Aaron Rodgers, and being contenders in the NFC. Is it within reason for me as a Packers fan looking at our division to believe that why can't the Packers finish 9-8 or 10-7 and possibly sneak into the playoffs and win the NFC North? Why is that far-fetched? Why is that far-fetched? It's far-fetched to some people because there are some Packer fans who don't believe in Matt LaFleur as a head coach. And now Matt LaFleur will have to coach. We're going to get a chance to find out what kind of coach is Matt LaFleur. There are other coaches in the NFL who have had success over the last 2 years, and I don't question them as head coaches. I've never questioned Andy Reid. I know Andy Reid is one of the greatest coaches in NFL history. Sean McVay is one of the best coaches currently in the NFL, despite the Rams' struggles last year. And he was the coach that was able to get Matthew Stafford over the hump and win a Super Bowl last year. Kyle Shanahan, he always has the San Francisco 49ers contending in the NFC. And majority of the time, it's been under Jimmy Garoppolo. So we know Kyle Shanahan can coach. We know Sean McVay can coach. We know Andy Reid can coach. But we don't know if Matt LaFleur can coach. We don't know if Matt LaFleur can develop Jordan Love into being a good quarterback in the NFL. And that's the thing. As a Packers fan, I don't expect Jordan Love to be as good as Aaron Rodgers. I don't expect Jordan Love to be as good as Brett Favre. But do I believe that Jordan Love can be as good as a Dak Prescott? Yes. Do I believe Jordan Love can be as good as a Derek Carr? Yes. But that takes coaching. That takes development. That takes patience. That takes getting in there and putting in the extra time with your young quarterback and being able to help him understand the game, but also allow him to make mistakes. Allow him to see the field a certain way and be able to make the mistakes so he can improve after his first year of starting after this season. And that's Matt LaFleur's job. You got to mentor Jordan Love. You got to develop Jordan Love. You got to give him the confidence that he needs to step in and be the quarterback for the Packers to be contenders in the NFC. I look at the rest of the quarterbacks in the NFC, not just in the NFC North. Look at the rest of the quarterbacks in the NFC. In the AFC West, Kyler Murray is going to be fresh off a season-ending injury. Matthew Stafford is coming off one of the worst seasons of his career. Brock Purdy, he's not proven yet. Geno Smith, he got a new contract from the Seattle Seahawks, but Geno Smith had a good season last year. Not great, but a good season according to his standards from previous years. Let's go to the NFC South, shall we? Desmond Ridder, Andy Dalton, Derek Carr, Baker Mayfield. You telling me Jordan Love can't be the second best quarterback if he played in the NFC South? If Matt LaFleur is as good of a head coach as I believe he can be, Jordan Love should be able to be better than a Baker Mayfield. He should be able to be better than an Andy Dalton and a Desmond Ridder. Let's go to the NFC East, shall we? Jalen Hurts and Dak Prescott, they are both better than Jordan Love. But I do believe that Jordan Love can reach the level that Dak Prescott has reached. Dak Prescott is not great. Dak Prescott at his best is good. At his best is good, and I'm okay with that because I believe it's Brian Gutekunst's job to put the right pieces around Jordan Love to be successful. And I think they have some of those pieces in place. At receiver, you got Christian Watson. You got Romeo Dobbs. At running back, you still got a tremendous duo with Aaron Jones, with A.J. Dillon. Up front, you got David Bakhtiari, one of the best tackles in the NFL. You got Elgton Jenkins, a great offensive lineman as well. You got Josh Myers. You got John Runton, Yosh Nyman as well. So that offensive line for the Packers is also a very, very good unit on their football team. Defensively, you got Kenny Clark up front. You got Devontae Wyatt. They're going to get back Rashad Gary. You still got Preston Smith. You still got Devondre Campbell. In the secondary, Jair Alexander is still one of the best DBs in the NFL. You still got Rasul Douglas. You still got Darnell Savage. So the Packers have a good football team. If Jordan Love can develop into being a good quarterback, not great, but good quarterback, the Packers can compete in the NFC North and possibly even win the NFC North. Seriously. So we're going to get an opportunity to see if Matt LaFleur can coach. We're about to get that opportunity. And then I look at this too. Last year, this is Aaron Rodgers' statistical numbers. Last year, Aaron Rodgers, his passer rating was 91.1. That was ranked 16th in the NFL. This ranks among 33 qualifying quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers' passer rating last year was 91.1. That was ranked 16th in the NFL. He had zero 300-yard passing games. Zero for Aaron Rodgers. Tied for last year in the NFL. He averaged 217 passing yards per game. That was ranked 19th in the NFL. He threw 12 interceptions, which was tied for 7th most in the NFL. So Aaron Rodgers, statistically last year, was terrible. So Jordan Love has nowhere to go but up. Nowhere to go but up. So offensively, dare I say the Packers could be better under Jordan Love than what they were last year under Aaron Rodgers? It's possible. It's possible. You look at Jordan Love in college. This is in college. He went to Utah State for 3 years. At Utah State, Jordan Love, 60 touchdowns, 29 interceptions, 8,600 passing yards, completing 61% of his passes. That was at the University of Utah State. And Jordan Love, this is so far in the NFL. He had one start that came in 2021. That was that game where Aaron Rodgers missed because he had COVID against the Chiefs. Jordan Love in that game wasn't great. Well, this was his stats last year overall. Last year in 2021, two touchdowns, three interceptions, 411 passing yards, completing 58% of his passes. Overall, he hasn't had much experience on the field. So we don't really know what Jordan Love is. And I'm not saying he has to be a Patrick Mahomes, a Joe Burrow, or even a Trevor Lawrence or a Kyler Murray, but I definitely believe he can be a Dak Prescott. He can be a Kirk Cousins. He can be a Derek Carr. And now the pressure is on Matt LaFleur. And I want to see if Matt LaFleur can coach because it's coaching now. You can't rely on Aaron Rodgers anymore. This is all coaching. Everybody go and follow Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_H. Also on Facebook, Wise Guys. And be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram and These Guys Know Sports. Don't forget, tomorrow night, it's the Final Four in Houston. 6:09 tip-off is Florida Atlantic versus San Diego State for the right and an opportunity to go to the national championship game. And then in the biggest matchup between the four teams that I'm looking forward to the most, it's Miami, Florida versus the Connecticut Huskies. 8:49 tip-off. I believe that is the marquee matchup of the Final Four. Definitely excited about that one. It's going to be some great college basketball this weekend. I'm going to make a prediction. I think that the national championship game, and I'll preview and talk about the national championship game on Monday night show, but this is my prediction for this weekend's games in Houston. I think Florida Atlantic will beat San Diego State, and I think Miami, Florida will beat UConn, and it's going to be Florida Atlantic in Miami, Florida playing for the national championship Monday night in Houston. That's my prediction. Florida Atlantic over San Diego State. Miami, Florida over UConn. That's what I got. Great, great weekend for some college hoops. Definitely going to be checked in and watching that. Everybody go and follow Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_H. Also on Facebook, Wise Guys. Be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram. These Guys Know Sports. I'll be back on Monday talking the latest sports from around the world. Everybody go and follow Wise Guys on Twitter. Wise Guys, _Waits, also on Facebook, Wise Guys. Have a great, great weekend, everybody.
It's the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.